Go, Daniel. Good job. It's one of the most important jobs in the life of the church, to carry the light of Christ. And it's a job for our youngest and for every one of us, because we all bear the light of Christ in the world. And sometimes the world can be a little bit dark. So, I'm glad you're here this morning. If everybody brings a friend next Sunday, we'll double our crowd. I don't mean to say that in a joking way. I mean to say that in an absolutely serious way, because we have great things to share. We have great opportunities for worship and for fellowship and for living in the light of Christ, the light of the world. So think now of who you can invite: your neighbors, friends, co-workers, schoolmates, classmates. I'm not going to read you all the announcements in the bulletin, because you can tell there's a lot today, but I just want to remind you that Children's Choir starts back afternoon on Tuesday. We pick up from the school, from A.C. Williams, and that's a great children's program, and it kicks off our spring semester. The administrative council meeting is later that evening at 6:30. On Thursday, there's a potluck lunch. It's designed for seniors, people that are home during the day and might be eating alone, but it's open for anyone. Welcome to come. Also, I wanted to tell you about my plans for Bible study during Lent. Last year, we did a thing called Soup and Soul. I'm calling it that again, but it's more accurately called Reflections Bible Study, what we see and what we don't see. And so I'd like to begin that during Lent, but I'm eager to get a head start with it. So for the next three Wednesdays, we're going to do previews of that. So on beginning this coming Wednesday for 3 weeks, and then beginning with Lent all the way through to Easter, we will have Wednesday pastors' Bible studies. It'll be two times each Wednesday, at noon and at 6. It'll be the same session both times for people that are available at different times of the day. But at noon and 6, the same session. You come to both if you like, but just be warned, they're going to be the same, except for the conversation and questions. So I hope you'll participate in that as much as you can and start that in earnest with the beginning of Lent, 4 weeks from now. So also the Shrove Tuesday Pancake Supper, there's a thing about that in our bulletin on February 25th. That's the day before Ash Wednesday. Hopefully you'll put those things on your calendar. There's a lot of details in our bulletin today, so I'll leave the rest of that for you to read and digest and process on your own. I am so happy you're here, and if you are our guest today, we are glad that you are here and that we get to worship with you. If you would please leave us a way to contact you, we'd really like to be able to respond to your visit. And if you would use a green card that are there, green cards are there in the pews, green cards for guests, and yellow cards for prayer requests, and that's for anyone. If you would want to participate in our pastoral prayer, which happens in an earlier part, a few minutes in the service, you may do that by turning a yellow card in through the offering plates and putting your prayer request on that card. Now, that's a lot of announcements, but there are plenty of opportunities to get involved in the life of the church and to be connected and to be a part of this family of faith. And we welcome you, no matter what your member status is, we welcome you to become a part of this family of faith as we serve Christ and share our faith in Christ together. So, with all of that said, let us worship God together.
The presence of the Lord is in this place.
Please stand as you're able. Tyler?
For number 451, Be Thou My Vision.
There is one God and there is one mediator, Jesus Christ, who came as a ransom for all and to whom we testify. This saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners and was manifested in the flesh, vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed in throughout the world, and taken up in glory. Great indeed is the mystery of the gospel. Amen. While you're standing, let us greet one another with the grace and peace of Jesus Christ and welcome one another to worship. Maybe you can meet a new friend. Let us begin to pray and make a prayer of dedication of these gifts. Oh God, we give you thanks for the many ways that you have gifted us, and we return a portion unto you for the work of your kingdom. Let it be that which will enrich the ministries and the guidance that this church offers and the outreach that we share, even in this community. Right here at home and abroad, we seek to be the light and life of Jesus Christ to draw people closer to Him. Amen.
And now for hymn number 560, Help Us Accept Each Other.
Help us accept each other as Christ accepted us. Teach us as sister, brother, each person to as in our daily life we strive.
settle into a time of praying and lifting our prayers together. If you have, you've had a chance through the yellow cards to submit a prayer request, that opportunity remains every time, and you're welcome to name persons or special needs or special burdens that you want to ask for prayers for. The only one I have today is submitted by Bill and Diane, and it's for Jim Posanello and Gail Levy for medical needs. And so then I'd also like for you to pray for our confirmation students and the work that is being done by Craig Jensen and myself to teach them and lead them and help to guide their faith. And Craig and I do not do that alone, because our kids' parents are sharing in that, and their families are a vital part of it, and it is so important for youth to have many sources of faith, not just one person to tell them, not just mom and dad said so, but to be a part of a vital community of faith where they get encouragement and teaching and coaching in that. So I invite you to pray for our confirmands, also for everyone else that's listed in our bulletin. Let's see. There are some others that I wanted to name, and I will mention Myra Terrell and Jane Williams at Oak Manor, and Kathy Giles' sister Debbie Hood, who is struggling, and for Tammy Neiser, who had some surgery this week, a rotator cuff, so she's gonna be fine, but according to Gil, I think she's a little bit grouchy, so just lift her, and there are plenty of other, sorry, there are plenty of other special needs, and you know of some of those for yourselves. Don't forget Jim on the card. So let's turn these moments into a prayer and begin with silent praying, where in some miraculous way, God manages to hear each of us, even in silence, when we pray at the same time. Let us pray. Oh God, we come before you. You are our creator and our guide and our friend who walks beside us on the pathways and who calls us to walk by your side. We are so honored to do that. To know that we are not alone, even when we seem to be by ourselves or feel lonely, we are not alone. We trust, O God, that you are by our side and that your Spirit goes with us, before us to point the way and behind us to encourage us and move us forward. God, in these moments of praying together as people of strong and common faith, we share those common bonds and we lift our hearts together, knowing that you've promised where two or three are gathered, that you hear us in a way that is beyond what any of us can do by ourselves, that you hear us, that you treasure our conversation with you, and that most of all you treasure when we pause our talking and simply listen for the moving of your Spirit. God, in moments like that of silence, our attention is wide open to seeing you, to hearing you, to feeling your wind and knowing your presence and seeing your light and reflecting that light in the darkest corners of our place. Oh God, you know our hearts from the inside out. You know the needs and the hopes and the cares. You know the voices that fail and crack, and those that sing so beautifully, they sound like angels. But we thank you that you are the one who loves us no matter what, and who loves to hear our voices no matter what they sound like, because you who have made us, you who have made us, hold us so close in your everlasting arms that you want to be with us. Help us, oh God, to remember that and to want to be with you. Help us not to see you as a threat, but as a companion. And help us to compel other people to understand that. That you're not a vengeful God. You are one who you're not ahead of us pulling us along. You're behind us, encouraging us and holding our arms as we walk on your pathway. Oh God, you're so much greater than anything we can imagine or describe. These words seem to fall short of your eternal glory. And yet, oh God, we celebrate that you are personal with us. Enough to send Jesus, your very own Son, to be God and point the way to God for us in a way that we could see like no other. Oh God, we treasure getting to be together, and we share in these moments of worship as we hold up our faith together, and as we walk in the Spirit, we face the same direction side by side with those whom we love and who love us, and we praise your everlasting name. And we do that through the name of Jesus, our Master, who teaches us to pray together with simple words, but profound words like these. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So when it comes time to do the Lord's Prayer in our communion liturgy, we will do one of two things. We will either skip it or we'll say it again. I'm not sure which, but it's very hard to land a pastoral prayer without sharing that prayer that we call the Jesus Prayer. So, as we proceed with our time, let me just say everyone is welcome to come to the table, and when we do come for Holy Communion, we will welcome everyone, no matter what your faith feels like this morning. You have a place at this table where Christ is the host and each of us is a guest. So, Jim?
Our scripture reading this morning is from the Old Testament book of Micah. You can find it on page 816 of the Old Testament section of your pew Bible. We'll be reading chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the controversy of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a controversy with his people. He will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? In what have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery. And I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what King Balak of Moab devised, what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
I'd like to share with you from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Matthew 5, this is part of the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus is teaching the crowd. Matthew's fairly unique version of this sermon on the side of a mountain. And so, it includes what have come to be called the Beatitudes. I'd like for you to hear these words from the Common English Bible, and in them to listen for and hear the word of the Lord. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up a mountain. He sat down, and his disciples came to him. He taught them, saying, "Happy are people who are hopeless, because the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Happy are people who grieve, because they will be made glad. Happy are people who are humble, because they will inherit the earth. Happy are people who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, because they will be fed until they are full. Happy are the ones who show mercy, because they will receive mercy. Happy are people who have pure hearts, because they will see God. Happy are people who make peace, for they will be called God's children. Happy are people whose lives are harassed because they are righteous, because the kingdom of heaven is theirs. And happy are you when people insult you and harass you and speak bad and false things about you, all because of me. Be full of joy then, and be glad, because you have a great reward in heaven. In the same way, people harassed the prophets who came before you. This, brothers and sisters, is the word of the Lord for the people of faith. Thanks be to God. I chose a strange title for the sermon today. What I've just read to you is sometimes called the Beatitudes in Matthew. Part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, where he taught the disciples for three chapters in Matthew. And as we read that, this Beatitudes part is at the beginning. And we tend to hear those and kind of look down upon others. But what we really need to do is hear them for ourselves, because Jesus is not saying that you're cursed if you don't do these things, although Luke has us kind of believing that in the way that he tells this story. But Matthew is saying, blessed are you, happy are you. I like how this version, the Common English Bible, says it, happy, blessed. Seems like something that happens from without us, from outside us, happens to us or toward us. But happy is something that wells up inside. And I think that's what Matthew and Jesus were trying to teach us, that when you live like this, you won't have to worry about being happy, because the happiness will come from inside you. It will swell up. In this way of thinking, Jesus says, happy are those who are hopeless. How is that sensible? Happy are those who have no hope. Why? Because of their future, they will be made glad. It's what they have ahead of you. Those of you that are happy now, maybe you have your best times now or in the past. But those who are struggling or who are grieving the loss of something or someone, have their best days ahead. They will be made glad. Jesus says, blessed or happy are those who are humble. You know as well as I do that when people brag about themselves, it's really a sign of insecurity because they're not quite sure what's on the inside. They have to reassure others in order to reassure themselves. But when God is welcome in us and the Spirit of God dwells in us, then that Spirit generates that flow, that tide of grace that can fill us and leave us to be shared with others. That grace that can be a part of our witness. Jesus goes on, if you're hungry and thirsty, especially if you are having an appetite for righteousness, then you are blessed and you will be fed until you are full. Happy or precious are those who show mercy because they will receive mercy. You give it, you get it. These are not factual statements that are mathematical equations like do this and you'll get that. Jesus is talking generally about the riches of the kingdom of God when you offer yourself, when you give yourself, and when you let the Spirit of God pass through you and use it to serve others in your place. Then that Spirit will grow in you. And you will be blessed. You will be happy. Blessed are those who show mercy, for they will receive it. How do you show mercy? Because probably you've already received it and you're passing it on. Happy or blessed are the people with pure hearts, for they shall see God. And our hearts can only be made pure by God's Spirit dwelling in us, cleansing us, popping all of those little bubbles of air pockets that we let bubble up in us, air of our own inflation, our own ideas, popping those bubbles and letting God's Spirit, God's air, that holy breath or wind of God bubble up in us. And make our hearts pure. Happy are those who make peace, who bring peace and hope in our world because they will be called God's children. And the last one maybe is a little more troubling. It's about suffering. It says, happy are those who are harassed. Happy of those who live with stress because they will be called God's children. The stress of responsibilities and challenge, whether it's parenting or teaching a class or discipling other believers or whatever it is that challenges you. Raising your grandchildren, maybe. Whatever it is that challenges you, those trials can become a blessing. Happy are those who struggle because they are righteous, who are maybe even persecuted or challenged because of their simple faith, because the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Jesus said, unless you become like a little child, innocent and trusting, then you probably won't find yourself in the kingdom of heaven. You have to let go and trust. And let God's grace plant seeds in you that will grow and be nourished, even when things don't go your way, even when things aren't like you wish they were. Let that grace grow in you, especially when you are struggling. The last part is about criticism. It says, happy are you when people insult you. Blessed you will be, even when people insult you and harass you and speak all kinds of bad or false things about you, all because of me, he says. Be joyful and be glad, because you have a great reward in heaven. In the same way people harass the prophets who came before you, you won't be the first one and you won't be the last one. And you won't be the only one in the place where you are. We all struggle. It would be arrogant of me as your pastor to act like I don't. Because I do. And you do. It's daily. It's not about the 1 hour on Sunday morning. It's a daily walk of faith where we walk up and down hills. And on days that challenge us with their freezing temperatures, and days where we think we will blister in the heat. I'm talking about not so much the weather as the pressure that is around us in our homes, in our workplaces, in our family relationships, in our classrooms. When people don't feel safe in our neighborhoods or our campus. Life is a struggle, and God doesn't promise that that is going to get better until the kingdom comes. But God does promise us that when we are insulted and harassed, and when we struggle and people say bad things about us and we feel rejected or unsafe, that we should be joyful and glad, because we have a home in heaven. That God is with us now to help us get little glimpses of that. And to know that we are not alone. That even the prophets, even Jesus himself, endured suffering. So we're not exempt. And we should never expect to be, or even pray to be, exempt. Jesus said, let this cup pass from me. That was his prayer, part of his prayer to God. Let this cup pass from me. And I don't know how long he let that sit before he went on. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. So even Jesus knew suffering and knew that suffering was real. And maybe even knew that suffering can cause us to grow. Pressure can cause us to grow. Challenges like those that a musician faces in a practice room or behind the organ bench by yourself. Those challenges that we face that press us down, make us feel worse about ourselves instead of better, are the very things that hone our skills, that hone and carve our spirits so that we may grow. As we come to this table this morning, let us remember that we come here humbly to stand or kneel, but to kneel in our hearts at least, and to reckon that in so doing, we are dying with Christ. But that's not the end of the story. We are dying in order to rise with Christ, or better understood, to be raised with Christ, to walk in newness of life, to glow with that life, and to have it live in us and overflow into our world that needs some of that light. Let it burn in you. And let us prepare to come to the table. Here we come to this table where Christ is the host. And each of us is a guest, an equal guest. Come humbly, come crumbling, come ready to receive the healing grace of Christ. And everyone is welcome to come to this table. Please, you are invited by Jesus himself. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, in the grace of your Son and our Lord Jesus Christ. We share at this table knowing the healing hope that comes to us because of his grace and your grace shown through him. He is the light of the world because he shares and sheds your light, O God. And yet he calls us to be the light of the world as well, to reflect it. And we seek to do so. And so we praise you, and with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. For we trust in his grace. He is the one who expresses your grace most fully in human form, and who shows us by his own dying and by his own rising that your grace is that which calls us to rise as well. And so as we kneel, or as we kneel in our hearts to receive that grace, let us be aware that that grace empowers us to rise, to climb in our spirits and to climb with you, to climb with Christ and soar with him. He is the one whose grace calls us to this table, whose precious life is poured out, his very lifeblood and his body given for us. Holy are you, O God, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By your Spirit, we give you praise and thanksgiving. And in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim together the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts, that all of us, each of us, may be and become the body of Christ, redeemed by his precious blood, in order to give witness to that grace in our places in the world. In Jesus' name. As people of faith, let us say together, amen. Let those who are going to help serve please come now, and the ushers will lead and guide those of you to the table. And if there's some special person that you would like to receive with today, your family or a dear friend, please don't come alone. Come and share. This is a community sacrament. We don't just take the Lord's Supper in our homes or in such small groups as that, although it can be a holy moment, but it is a community sacrament for everyone who is here. So let us prepare to receive. This, brothers and sisters, the body of Christ, the bread of life, bread for the world, broken for his disciples, for you and for me. And this, the cup of Christ, his very life, his precious blood poured and shed for you and for me, that rich source might wash us clean. As we ingest this into our own bodies, we remember the words of Jesus, how he shared it with the earliest of disciples and said to them, "Drink you all of this in remembrance of me." John, the body of Christ, bread of life, given for you. The blood of Christ, shed for you. The body of Christ, bread of life, given for you. Jim, the body of Christ, bread for the world, broken for you. Harriet, the body of Christ. Please bow with me. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself for us. Please grant that we might be enabled and enriched to go into your world and give ourselves for others in the name and for the sake of Christ our Lord. Amen. If today is a time of turning or of renewal for you, then I invite you to make a new step of faith. Make it quietly or come and share it, or call me this week and we'll talk and pray together. You're invited to claim your faith in Christ, to reclaim or renew that faith, or to join this congregation of United Methodist people as we live out our faith together. So any of those invitations is open as we sing this hymn of discipleship or hymn of invitation. Tyler?
Number 558, We Are the Church.
I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world, yes, we're the church together. The church is not a building, the church is not a steeple, the church is not a resting place, the church is a people. I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world, yes, we're the church together. We're many kinds of people with many kinds of faces, all colors and all ages too, from all times and places. I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world, yes, we're the church together. Sometimes the church is marching, sometimes it's bravely burning, sometimes it's writing, sometimes hiding, always it's learning. I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world, yes, we're the church together. And when the people gather, there's singing and there's praying, there's laughing and there's crying, sometimes all of it's saying, I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world, yes, we're the church together. And when people receive the Holy Spirit and told the good news through the world to all who would hear it, I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world, yes, we're the church together.
We are, not just when we are here. We are definitely the church of Jesus Christ when we are gathered. But we are even more the church of Jesus Christ, and even more effective when we are scattered and sprinkled around in the community like salt to do its work. Go and be salt. Bye. Peace be with you. Let's go. Give it some slack.